May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Saint Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century, a father and doctor of the church, once asked a simple question. It was a rhetorical one in a little manual titled On the Duties of Clergy. What is the first commandment of the law? What is the first commandment of the law? One might naturally turn to the first law of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods but me. St. Ambrose, however, turned to the beginning of the Law of Moses, the full-length version, with its 600-plus commandments in tow. You can find the first law in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, it reads, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Hear, O Israel, is the first command. St. Ambrose says, it said not speak, it said hear. Be silent, therefore, first of all, and hearken, that thou fail not in thy tongue. Hear, not speak. A fitting word for clergy. A fitting word for all of us, maybe, and for prophets, too, if today's Old Testament passage is any evidence of that. Today, Elijah meets God on the holy mountain. God shows up not in signs and wonders, not in a great wind, nor in an earthquake, nor in a mighty fire, but in the very moment when things get very, very quiet. God speaks, and Elijah has to strain to listen. A fine silence, one version reads, a gentle whisper, another says, a still small voice. All viable translations, all equally adequate versions of translating the untranslatable. Elijah then covers his face. He knows that this is the moment when he ought to be truly afraid. This summer, in ordinary time, we follow the story of Elijah, the famed Israelite prophet, one of two people who show up with Jesus in the story of Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain. Elijah is right up there with Moses in terms of figures who loom large in the Hebrew tradition. But in today's passage, we meet Elijah in a rare moment of vulnerability. Today, he is running scared. Ahab and Jezebel, the king and queen, are on a warpath on Elijah and his kind, prophets of the God of Israel. They are their target of choice. Now, to be fair, Elijah has just decimated the prophets of Baal in a gruesome and violent scene just prior to this one. Ahab and Jezebel simply seem to be returning the favor in some ways. And yet, precisely because of the decisive power with which Elijah has defeated his own enemies, this moment today seems strange. Why would this prophet of the Most High flee in the face of human resistance? If God is and has been on Elijah's side before, what reason does he have to doubt and run away this time? We don't get an answer. The text doesn't fill in the gaps, and yet there is something to be gained by asking these questions. The word translated fear here from the Hebrew, when the text states that Elijah is afraid for his life, is awful close to the verb to see in Hebrew. So, to fear and to see are related. An alternative translation to Elijah is afraid, therefore, is to state that Elijah sees. In the words of another biblical scholar, Elijah sees how things are and is therefore afraid. Elijah sees how things are. To say that Elijah has been in dire straits before then doesn't diminish the risk that he is currently under. to name the fact that Elijah has overcome in the past doesn't diminish the fact that Ahab and Jezebel are breathing threats of murder right now. And what we must notice, therefore, what we must see for ourselves, just as Elijah sees, is that the present challenge is no less difficult simply because he's overcome in the past, no less pressing because he's made a name for himself as a prophet thus far, no less challenging because God has been at Elijah's side in the previous storms. To become familiar with Elijah's fear is to acknowledge our constant need to listen anew for clarity, wisdom, and guidance. The old answers won't do. Ancient assurances don't always hold up. Past clarity doesn't translate into decisive action now. Just like Elijah, we must go up to the mountain again and again. Just like Elijah, we must seek God ever anew, wherever the road of life may lead. Now, listening, of course, is not as easy as it sounds. It's hard enough to listen to one another, to listen for understanding as opposed to listening for our chance to interrupt, to listen attentively rather than half-heartedly, to listen with compassion rather than with the intent to win an argument. It's another thing altogether to listen for God's will, that still, small voice that Elijah experienced. It's another thing altogether to let past assurances go in order to explore new territory. It's another thing altogether to discern where God is leading, for it is often shrouded in mystery, somewhere beyond the signs and wonders and easy answers, somewhere altogether new. Parker Palmer, the renowned writer and activist, tells a story of a time in his life where the path seemed hazy. He spent years unsatisfied with his work and with his endeavors. He sought counsel, sought silence, and still he struggled. And one day, he finally met with a woman known for her depth and clarity in the Quaker tradition, Palmer's spiritual home. Quakers like to talk about discernment as way opening, how the path is often marked not by great signs or wonders, but by simply an open door to the next step. And yet this had been unsatisfying to Palmer. He had been looking for a way to open for a long time, and he had yet to figure out his next step. The woman suggested something simple. Sometimes, Parker, way doesn't open for you. Sometimes way simply closes behind us and urges us forward. Way closes and way opens. God finds ways to direct us, not by signs and wonders, but with gentle nudges along life's path. Brief glances of joy, moments where we forget ourselves and find ourselves in the same moment. It may be that you never get to see God passing by in a great wind, feel God's presence as the earth shakes, sense God's burning passion in a roaring fire, and yet God is still here, knocking quietly at your door. God is still hoping you'll make space, if only to see a brief glimpse of the great things God has in store for you. So take heart, dear friends. God intends to take you on a long journey. You may not get everything you want, but he'll provide what you need. You may not see signs and wonders, but if you pay attention, you'll see the miraculous in the ordinary. And even when you head back down the mountain, even when you are unsure of the path and dangers close in at every side, know that God is with you. The way forward, of course, will not be safe, but it will be well worth your time. Amen.